We be seated. Those who do not have a Bible, please. Anyone who do not have a Bible, raise your hand, please. Good, everybody has a Bible. Turn your Bible with me to John, 1 Samuel, not John. 1 Samuel chapter 6, please. All right. How many of you guys been in the Niagara Falls? Those who move around, huh? Good. Only time I saw the Niagara Falls is on TV or on the postcard. Seems like a pretty good size, isn't it? I read the article about the Niagara Falls. It consists with two different falls. One is a Canadian fall, and another one is American fall. Smaller one is an American one, and the bigger one is a Canadian fall, which we see in most of the case. And consider yourself and myself in standing on the bottom of the Niagara Falls. We all have a 5-gallon water bucket. And try to measure what the amount of water come in 1 hour fall with our bucket, 5-gallon bucket. That's almost next to impossible. Why is it? Because the object of measurement we are going to do is way too much, way too big. That's what's the problem we are facing when we try to measure God's size or what God can do. This chapter, we are going to find out the Philistine people, or the Philistine people, however you want to call it, these people are facing that they underestimate God. Two group of people who underestimate God clearly. One is Philistine people who they thought in chapter 4 and 5, they thought that they conquered the God of Israel. And they thought that they had everything in the bag, and they took the God of Israel to their camp as if their victory trophy. And they placed it in the Dagon God temple, and they realized Dagon God is nothing more than a stupid idol. And chapter 5, they also find that they have a major problem because this God of Israel. And some of your version says a tumor, or some of your version says swelling. Actually, it's a hemorrhoid. That's the exact translation. So they really had a pain in the butt problem. No pun intended. Anyway, I heard the hemorrhoid can be really uncomfortable. I've seen some people who are really having problem. They have to stay in the course because they have to drop out because of the pain they're going through. Not only the problem is it just pain and uncomfortableness that some people died, and God also sent the mice all over. They're rampaging their field and their food and dying with the death of this plague. So they realized they are not going to have this God of Israel around anymore. They had to send it away. Couldn't they accept the fact that God of Israel is bigger and better and stronger than their God, the Dagon? They don't want to change it because they realize that if they accept the God of Israel, their lifestyle have to be changed. Same thing in our lives. People see that God is a mighty God. As we faced after 9/11, there was not an atheist in the place in America. But soon as that the 9/11 concept is over, they're trying to kick the God in the face. I'm going to share with you sometime in the future about what the great theologian Oprah Winfrey said. You guys know her? She was rather famous in the afternoon time. One of the comments I'm going to share with you is that she said, all world lead to God. And the God of Muslim, God of Jewish people, and God of Buddha are the same. My God is not the same as the God of Buddha. Amen. My God is the one true God, and He created heaven and earth.
And He's alive.
And He's alive. And He cannot be compared with some idols. So we find verse 1 of chapter 6, these Philistine people trying to push God away from them. So they are trying very hard. Now, we go in there. Before we go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to learn from You. Learn clearly that we don't have to concern about other gods because they are not God at all. Humans create these so-called gods, little g gods. Then they cannot move around, so we have to take care of them. Let us not think that just because we are Christian, let us not think that we don't have these idols. Sometimes we make idols in our heart. Without realizing, without having that idol on our dresser or dashboard. Let us learn from You and let us not play game with You and not mess with You. Remember that there's nothing is out of sync with You. Teach us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things let's say we are all alcoholic. Now we were at the Niagara Falls. This time we're going to be in the alcoholic room, right? First thing we do if we walk into the alcoholic classroom, alcoholic and anonymous, first thing we have to do is who we are. And then second thing is we have to admit that we are an alcoholic. That's a good start. Whenever we have a problem with a sin, the first thing we have to do is admit that we are sinner. If we don't admit that we are sinner, then we have a major problem. Not realizing that we are a sinner, then nothing is going to start proper way. The first thing these people have to admit is their God is inferior God than the God of Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of Philistine 7 months. These people being plagued by this hemorrhoid and mice for 7 months. What is the reason these people holding for 7 months? I said the reason why they're holding it back is because the trophy they won from the battle. They didn't want to let it go. And another reason is if they let it go, then what are they going to do? How are they going to explain that they're just defeated again by the Israeli people? Same is in our life. Let's say I sin against God. I'm just making a quick example. Let's say I bought this car, high-end Lexus vehicle. Say $60,000 vehicle. Do I need it? No. Can I afford it? No. Heavens, no. But I'm going into financial difficulty because the payment is $700 a month or whatever. I'm just making. Is that the amount to $700 or $1,000 a month, something like that? So I have this Lexus with L emblem in the front of a car. Big deal. That car crashed just like another cars. But I have that financial statement, but in my own opinion, it's a financial statement. It is not. So I'm going through this difficulty because I have this car that I brought it in my life. Instead of get rid of it and try to make it right with the God, what do? Keep on making a payment onto that thing and continue it. That's not bad to compare with some of the sins we have. Some people having a sexual problem, pornography problem. Well, you know, I ordered this Playboy magazine, and, you know, if I cancel it, I'm not going to get my money back. Whoop-de-doo. lose their money. So just because their money continue to sin against God, or should I repent and turn to God and make it right in His sight? We don't think straight when we are in sin. Only way we can think straight is when we face God eye to eye and through the Word. So these people kept this miserable plague for 7 months. And we find verse 2, and the Philistine called for the priest and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. If the ark of God of Israel, do not send it, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is now removed from you." Then they said, "What is the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They said, "Five golden tumors, 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistine." For the same plague was on all of you and all your lords. What they're doing is that they are recognizing that their plague was done by God. And that's a good start. When I was in college, my major was a sculptor. When I do the sculpturing, I had to look at something to make that particular model. Wonder how they made it, this tumor. Yeah, that can be done, I guess. Verse 5, "Therefore, you shall make an image of the tumor and an image of your rat that ravaged the land, and you shall give glory to God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you and from your gods and from your land." They are admitting the God of Israel has a jurisdiction over all over, including their own God, their own land. And if they confess God is God Almighty, if they choose to worship God, God would bless them. What do? They push God away. Verse 6. "Why then do you harden your heart as the Egyptian and the Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he did mighty things among them? And did they not let the people go that they might depart?" They remember, these diviners and the Lord of the Philistine people remembered what God did against the Egyptians. That's good. That's great hindsight. We all heard hindsight is what? 2020. That means a great sight. Some wise, the really wise person said this, good hindsight is learning from their own mistake. But men with a better hindsight, learning from other people's mistake. Now, Bible is here made an example, so we can learn from these people's mistake. Let's have a better hindsight instead of learning as we go. We can avoid the problem. See, past cannot be changed. I know some of us tend to dwell on the past a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing good to dwell in the past. You don't have to trust me. Just look at the people who are going through misery. Look at the people who go through depression. Those people do not dwell on the present or future. They dwell on the past. And the past cannot be changed. Past is kind of like a check already cashed. You cannot do a thing about it. But you can do everything within your power to make it better for the future. Past is good for one. Learn from it. If we made a mistake, good. Learn from it so we don't make the same mistake again. Even though the Philistine people, the Lord, these people, the diviner said, "Well, then let's learn from the Egyptians so we don't make a mistake." But they are not truly learned from them. If they really learned, they would say, "Let's worship this God of Israel. Turn to him. Maybe he will have a compassion on us." But they didn't. Turn your Bible with me to the Hosea chapter 10. Hosea is right before Joel and right after Daniel in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourself the righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rain righteousness on you. And also there is a verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9 saying, for the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the whole earth to seek those whose hearts are loyal to him and make himself strong. I'm flapped at those two verses. Anyway, what he's saying is, if your heart is loyal to him, he will make himself strong to us and to the people around us. All we have to do is just seek him. How are we going to seek him? He said, if we seek with all of our heart, he will be found by us. How are we going to seek him? Through the word, through the prayer. By doing good things according to his way, not our way. Let's go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 6. Now, therefore, make a new cart. Take two milk cows which have never been yoked, which hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put in an article of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in the chest by its side. Not inside, its side. You might underline by its side, not on inside. Then send it away, let it go, and watch. If it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Underline by chance, please. Here, Philistine is conducting final test to God. Experiment. All right, if this is really God's job, he will make it happen. Odds are very much against God. Number one, if you notice that these cows are never been yoked, that means it's like a bronco. You try to ride a bronco, it will throw you off. In other words, these cows are not familiar with pulling the cart. So against their animal instinct. There's one more. Take the calves and put it in a different place and let it go. Maternal instinct and the animal instinct say, go after them, my calf. And nobody to take these cows to the Israel territory. Just let them go. See if it goes to the right place. Odds are stacked up against God. Now, what do we find? But it will find how the animal react. We find the animal behaved better than people. They obey to God better than people. See, remember that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, in Uzzah, U-Z-Z-A-H, Israelite, ordered by the King David to bring the Ark of God from this particular location to Jerusalem. What did they do? They made a cart. They put the Ark of God, the chest, on the top of the cart. They were turning the corner, and the cart was tilted, and he thought his Ark of God was going to fall, so he touched it, and God instantly killed him. What happened? Philistine did the same thing, but he didn't kill him. Israeli did. He killed him. We're going to deal with that thing down the road. Just remember that. See, God does not want us to, God didn't want the Israeli people to transport the Ark of God by cart. Since I'm an artist, I can do this. This is mercy seat. The cover of the bottom portion is made with acacia wood and glazed with gold. Top is solid gold. Has two cherubim facing each other, looking down, and wings spread upward. And each side has rings. They are not supposed to touch the ark. By putting the pole through it that is layered with gold, like this, only contact point, it would be what? Poles. Not the ark itself. Why? Because it doesn't want the ark. The ark is a presence representation of God. And this is where the sinful people come meet God. With a sin, man with a sin, not supposed to touch the holiness. There's a link that connects with man and God. This is mercy seat. So when the priest carry this, they simply pick up the pole and carry it. Not through by the cart. Israeli people should know better. Let's think about that in our application. When I do something wrong as a pastor, let's say I got involved with a sexual sin, God forbid. And if there's another man, a non-believer, get involved with a sexual sin, that person will go on just fine. What happened to me? I get punished because I should know better. God will not put up with that kind of sin from his children. God will deal with us more severely than non-believer who do not know. So we read this portion. It can be happen by chance. By chance. Philistine peoples. Any of you guys have a quarter? Come on. All I have is just penny. So. All right, he just flipped this quarter. Can I keep this? Just kidding. All right. Here's Washington's head. There's a tail, eagle. We often do this. Flip the coin and has a tail, right? What's the chance? Really? 50-50. I say head. It's 100%. Why? You said chance. You said a chance is a probability. But I say I add chance plus power. And the result is head. When I flip this, though it depends on how strong I flip. Depends on the current. Depends on the speed. It can flip a few times or it can flip just once. And when I catch it, I flip again. So if I want to rig this, I can really know how to flip it, how much strength I put it in. It can flip exactly the way I want it, come down to tail, and flip down, become head. That's not chance, is it? So in other words, I just destroyed the concept of chance. Am I making sense to you? There is no such a thing as a coincidence or chance, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is rigged up. By whom? By God. Anything happen is known to God and permitted by God. I'm going through a difficult time. Is it permitted by God? Yes. My mother died. Is it permitted by God? Yes. We all have a time. That's why in Ecclesiastes, it's time to die, time to mourn, time to be happy, time to get married, time to divorce, time to kill, time to heal. There's no such a thing as a chance. In God's eyes, everything is rigged. Now, let's try again. Heads or tails, if I flip this, is it 50-50? No, 100%. God knew exactly what is going to come down. God was not taking chances. Any of you guys didn't understand that portion? God is, in God's eyes, there's no chance. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Attaboy. Verse 10. Then the men did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of God on the cart and the chest with the gold thread and the image of their tumors. Okay. Then the cows headed straight for the road to the Beth Shemesh. Then went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn to your side, right hand or left hand, or left. And the Lord of the Philistines went after them to the border of the Beth Shemesh. God was not leaving anything to the chance. All just stack against him. This is the cow who do not want to be want to pull the cart or be yoked. They didn't stop for a couple of bites along the side of the road. They went straight ahead to the Beth Shemesh. They are led by the Spirit. Animal obeys better than human being, as I said before. Why are they lowering? They were lowering because they left their little ones. Against the maternal instinct, against the animal instinct, they were following God's. Verse 13. Now the people of Beth Shemesh are reaping their reap harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes, saw the ark, and rejoiced in it, and rejoiced to see it. Then the ark, the cart came to the field of Josh Beth Shemesh, stood there. A large stone was there, so they split the wood of the cart, offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. Philistine was hoping for chance, so he is not the God of Israel. But they turned out to be God of Israel, went all the way. See, the ark of God came back without anyone's leading. Obviously, there was no Green Beret special forces to rescue this, or hostage rescue unit from the SWAT team. It was done all by himself. Verse 15. It is God really loves when there's odds against him. That way, nobody can take a credit. Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which it were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered the burnt offering and made a sacrifice the same day to the Lord. In strict sense, this is an illegal offering. Why? They are not supposed to sacrifice cows. It's supposed to be what? Bulls, not cows. And another thing isn't supposed to be done in a tabernacle, not in any place. But then again, it's right in the presence of the Ark of Covenant. So, yeah, I guess that's okay. But God knew their heart. So God accepted it, and they were honored. Verse 16. When the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, and they returned to the Ekron same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned to the returned as trespass offerings to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Exclon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the numbers of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the largest stone of Abel, on which they set on the ark of the Lord, which stone remains in to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Then he struck men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,000 and 70 men, underline 50,000 and 70 men of the people. The people remnant because the Lord had struck people with a great slaughter. So God put the end of their fancy test of the Philistine people. We notice that the Philistine, God is dealing harshly with the Israeli people more than Philistine. And I explained that thing to you so you know that, because they should know better. And you guys in this place, I believe the majority are the Christians, born-again Christians. You guys know better. I should know better. If we do something wrong, we will be dealt by God more strictly than those who are non-believers. By the way, non-believers are sins. We sin, but non-believers sin more. And I'm surprised that they are not sinning more. Don't try to change the non-believers, but let's change our lifestyle to please God. All right? I asked you on the line that he struck the 50,070 men. Why did I ask you on the line 50,070 men? If you have NIV, New International Version, or New Living Translation, it will say 70 men. And King James and New American Standard Version and New King James will say 50,070 men. Which one is right? Bible is wrong? No, absolutely not. Bible is correct. Translation can be wrong. Don't look at me like that with the King James. It cannot be wrong. Yes, King James can be wrong. I can find many different places King James is wrong. Now, what is the difference between 50,070 men and the 70 men in the NIV? Which one is right? 70 men. Actual translation from the original manuscript is supposed to be said 70 people out of 50,000 men. In the Hebrew word, original words is supposed to be out of 50,000 men. And this is where the Bible critics will have a heyday. But as soon as they find out the original manuscript, they see this portion is out of. They say, oh, shucks. Okay, let's go to verse 20. Then the man of Beth-Shemesh and who said, who is able to stand before this holy God of holy Lord God, and to whom shall it go up from us? And so they sent a messenger to the inhabitants of the Kiriath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Nice fellows and nice neighbors, right? Just you have a problem, just pass it into another neighbor. This is the problem, guys. They are not supposed to look in. The reason is because God clearly said in his word, in the law, do not look inside the ark of God. We are not supposed to touch it. In Numbers and Deuteronomy say it many times, but they choose to do so. In irrelevance, without respect. God would not put up with that kind of thing. So they were struck. Instead of repenting, what did they do? Push God away. We do that, don't we? When God disciplines us, instead of repenting, we run away from God. All right, let's make a couple of applications. Number one, there is no such a thing as a chance. Do you think I kind of made myself clear there's no chance, no coincidence? Not even a 50-50. It's rigged by God, and God knows it. There's no such a thing as a chance. Proverbs 16:9. I like to say, pull out the last verse when everybody closed the Bible already. Don't close the Bible until I close my Bible. Proverbs 16:9. Don't say, honey, you turn. No, you turn too. Proverbs 16:9. This is one of those memory verses. Man's heart planned his way, but the Lord directed his step. Does it mean that we can be just a slop, don't organize our plan, anything? No, that's not what I said. But give a room for God to direct us, because he's the one who's going to make a direction in our lives. Second thing, don't mess with God. I like the way that George W. Bush said, don't mess with the Texan. I said, don't mess with God. We are not supposed to mess with God. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, did wicked things in the presence of God in the temple, and they were killed. Eli was killed because he let these two children of his go on and disgrace the name of God. Philistine people got killed because they consider God of Israel nothing more than just captured God by their own Dagon God. People in Bethshemesh got killed because they disgrace and disrespect God. Is God going to kill us because we are disrespectful? If that's the case, there won't be anybody in this room. We all disrespect him one way or another. God is merciful. His compassion fails not, his mercy new every morning. But yet, let's not push him too much. It's one thing to make us one thing to sin against God because of our stupidity. But it's another thing to push him purposely. Once we do it, second time it will come easier and easier and easier. And pretty soon we will not consider God as our God. Then I don't blame him for nailing us. Let's stand up and pray.